Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with a study in the book of Revelation. We've been studying chapter 13, and today we will cover just one verse, verse 5. The title of the study is, "The Beast Was Given Power to Speak Great Things and Blasphemies During the Great Tribulation." The study is about 60 minutes long, so it might be wise to listen to the first 30 minutes and listen to the second 30 minutes at another time. But I'll let you be the judge on that, and I'll begin by reading the verse, then we'll go into an introduction, then we'll take each one verse, that is verse 5, and speak about it in a little more detail, and then we'll conclude. Let me begin by reading that verse. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. In this study, we will examine Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, where the beast, which represents Satan, his demons, and his counterfeit Christians, was given a mouth to speak great things and blasphemies during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. We will also see this same beast described as the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7. Which will then lead us to look at a couple passages in Daniel chapter 8 and also Revelation chapter 7, which all speak about the Great Tribulation. After we complete this study, we will have gained a better understanding of what it means that this beast spoke great things and blasphemies, and that it was given power to continue for 42 months. May Christ now continue to bring growth to us in wisdom and knowledge through the Holy Spirit to the glory of the Father. Amen. Let me read verse 5 one more time before we start. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, in this verse, we are first told that to this beast, which we learned in previous studies, the beast represents Satan, his demons, and his counterfeit Christians at the time of the Great Tribulation of Judgment against all the churches worldwide from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began. There was given to him, more literally translated, to it, that is to the beast, was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Here the verb "was given" is in the aorist tense and passive voice of the Greek, which means that this beast was given its mouth speaking great things and blasphemies at a point in the past by something or someone other than itself, for it was completely passive in this matter of having been given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. So then, when was this beast, that is Satan along with his kingdom, given such a mouth to speak? And who or what gave its mouth to speak? Keeping to our context, remember back in verse 3 of our previous study, when we were told that this beast was healed of its death wound, and this verb "was healed" was in the passive voice to make it clear that this beast was not healed by itself, but it was passive in the matter. Instead, it was healed by Christ himself on May 21, 1988, when Christ loosed Satan from having been bound in the pit that he was bound in at the cross, and you can get more information in Revelation 20 by clicking on it. He was bound in the pit at the cross, but then he was loosed in 1988, May 21, to use this beast, that's Satan along with his kingdom, to bring God's judgment against his very own church, namely all the Christian churches around the world. For judgment had to begin with the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. And now in verse 5 of the same context, we are once again faced with a verb in the same aorist tense and passive voice, that is, was given, when we read that to it, that is, to the beast, was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. So logically, just as we had found that this beast was passively healed of its death wound when Satan was loosed by Christ from the pit, on May 21, 1988, to bring God's judgment against the church, so also this beast, that is Satan along with his kingdom, was passive when given a mouth by Christ to speak great things and blasphemies, beginning on May 21, 1988. So as we had learned in our previous study, that you can click on to see, it was not ultimately Satan who brought judgment against God's church and spiritually destroyed it, but it was God himself as he used Satan, his demons, and the counterfeit Christians, all a part of the beast that was passive in the matter of having been given a mouth by Christ to speak great things and blasphemies, to bring judgment against all his own Christian churches worldwide until they were all completely and spiritually destroyed by September 7, 1994, with Satan ruling over them all, which is how they remain even to this day, deceived by counterfeit gospels or false prophets, and they are ruled over by the counterfeit Christ. That is the Antichrist, and you can click on him to see who is the Antichrist. It is Satan himself, who had come to be worshipped as if he were God in the true Jewish temple, which was the church, namely all the Christian churches worldwide. No, we are not still waiting for the Antichrist to come to begin the Great Tribulation. Nor is the Antichrist a man, as many of the false prophets and Satan-ruled churches incorrectly teach in our day. No, rather, the Antichrist is Satan himself. And he already came beginning on May 21, 1988, when God gave the beast, that is Satan, his demons, and counterfeit Christians, power to gain rule over the whole church from May 21, 1988 to September 7, 1994, to bring his judgment against them all for their unfaithfulness to his word, which began the Great Tribulation, which was spiritual in nature, to end eternal salvation in or through any local church. Indeed, there had never been a tribulation such as the first part of the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to September 7, 1994, when God would not save anyone in or through any church, nor even in the entire world. For remember, in verse 1 of this chapter, Satan had been given 10 horns, crowned, and 7 heads to symbolize that he had been given complete strength and power and perfect authority and rule, respectively, as king over the church and the whole world to begin the Great Tribulation. Hence we read in Matthew 24:21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." But now we must ask the question, what does it mean that this beast, that is Satan, his demons, and counterfeit Christians, was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies? Well, to answer this question, we will need to know how God's word defines great things and blasphemies. We already defined blasphemies or blasphemy as evil things against or contrary to the word of God, the truth. And you can click on Revelation 2:9, scroll down to verse 9, and Revelation 13 verse 1 part 2, and scroll down to part 9 to see that. But what are great things? When we do a search of them, great things in the Holy Scriptures, we find that it is mentioned 27 times. In every reference, great things always refer to the things God does or says, whether one would consider them good or bad things, or whether he would do them himself or through someone else. They always refer to the things of God. For instance, the first biblical reference to be revealed is in 1 Samuel 12, where we read in verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you," that is, that he had done for God's people. Obviously, the great things are the things Yahweh had done for his people. And again, we read in Mark 3, verse 8, "And from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he," that is Christ, who is God, "did, they came unto him." Once again, the great things are the things God or Christ did. And we could look at all 27 references in the Bible to see that great things are those things that God does, whether through humankind or himself. And one of the many great things God does is speak the Word of God. And the Word of God are the Holy Scriptures. For we read in Job 37, verse 5, "God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doth he, which we cannot comprehend." Therefore, it is clear the Holy Scriptures that God spoke through his prophets are one of God's great things. Because they came from God's very mouth, through his prophets. And for us to declare them by the Holy Spirit, of course, that's by God, is another great thing. But all great things are of God. We read in Hosea chapter 8, verse 12, "I," that is Yahweh, "have written to you," and in this context, he's writing to the tribe of Ephraim, which typified the New Testament church, "I'm writing to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing." The law, then, which is the word of God, is once again a great thing of God. And now we can begin to understand our verse now, when it says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies." In that this beast, Satan, his demons, and counterfeit Christians, was given a mouth speaking great things means that it spoke the very things of God through counterfeit Christians, counterfeit evangelists, counterfeit pastors and teachers, and and so-called prophets, for we had just learned that the great things refer to the things of God, including the very Word of God itself. Therefore, since the context of our verse is during the great tribulation of judgment against all the Christian churches worldwide, which began on May 21, 1988, at the end of the church age when judgment began at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17, and continued until judgment day, which consists of many days, began on May 21, 2011. It was during this time when the beast spoke great things. Namely, he spoke the word of God through his false prophets as if he himself were God. Yes, the beast spoke the holy scriptures as he sat ruling in the temple of God, that is, in the church, the house of God, or all the Christian churches worldwide, as judgment against them. And he deceived all the churches into counterfeit gospels and teachings with signs and wonders to give them apparent validity. For what he proclaimed was so close to the truth that even God's elect would be deceived if that were possible. For we read the following about this time of the great tribulation in Matthew 24:11, "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many." And again we read that during this great tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, Mark 13:22 states, "False Christs," that is, counterfeit gospels, for it's not primarily referring to false Christ as being people who claim to be Christ. These false Christs are counterfeit gospels. It's the system of belief that they have that is the false Christ. "And false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." Thus, the great things that this beast proclaimed in the church during the great tribulation were so close to the truths of God's word that they deceived all those in the churches who were not eternally saved. One false thing that this beast taught through its false prophets, for instance, was that those who were in all the churches were not to listen to God's true prophets, the elect, for the elect were declaring the truth of God's command to come out of all the local churches. Because the counterfeit Christ, the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, also called the man of sin or son of perdition, Satan himself, had taken his seat of rule in the temple of God, also called the house of God, which was all the Christian churches worldwide, even the church, as judgment against them. For judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Indeed, being the master deceiver, Satan deceived all those who attended a local church into believing that they were worshiping Christ when in fact they were worshiping the counterfeit Christ, Satan himself, and continue to do so even to this day. As the scripture forewarned us about this in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 4. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," that is the day of the Lord or the return of Christ, "shall not come except there come a falling away first." And this is talking about a falling away of the church. and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Christ would not come to rapture his people to heaven until the church fell away, you see, from truth. And the man of sin, the son of perdition, also known as the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan himself, be revealed ruling over the church. And this man of sin who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, that is in the church, showing himself that he is God. Well, now that we've learned that when our scripture says that this beast, Satan, his demons, and all his counterfeit Christians, was given a mouth speaking great things, means that it speaks the things of God, such as the Word of God, through its counterfeit Christians. And in that this beast also speaks blasphemies, means that it speaks things that are contrary to the truth by twisting the scripture to do it. In fact, for this beast to even speak the things of God, to even dare to speak the things of God or from the Word of God, is blasphemy in itself, because the very nature of this beast is contrary to the truth. For Satan, who is the ruling part of the beast, is the father of lies. And this beast speaks these great things of God to deceive the churches worldwide into thinking they are worshiping and following Christ when they are actually worshiping and following the devil. This counterfeit Christ, who is the Antichrist, which was foretold in Scripture that he would come in 1 John 2:18 and 1 John 4:3, and did come beginning on May 21, 1988, to be given rule over the whole Christian church by September 7, 1994, as God's judgment against them for straying from the truth, can even perform counterfeit salvations and other signs and wonders, like causing people to fall backwards, doing apparent healings, getting apparent direct messages from God, and more, all to mimic the true Christ, so that even God's very elect would be deceived, if that were possible. Of course, it's not possible, because Christ controls his people. He's in charge of his people. He protects his people. Otherwise, they'd be deceived just like everyone else. Now, if you listened to our study on Daniel 7, you may remember that each of the first three beasts mentioned there represented different aspects of Satan's rule throughout history. And you can click on Daniel 7, 1 through 6 to read about that or listen about that. But the fourth beast in particular, revealed in Daniel 7, verses 7 through 8, symbolized the rule of Satan over all the churches in the world during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, just as does also our beast described in Revelation 13 that we have been studying. Therefore, let's take another look at the fourth beast of Daniel 7 to refresh our memories and deepen our understanding of this beast that we are studying in Revelation 13. There in Daniel 7, we read in verses 7 through 8, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying," or fear-invoking and terrible, "and strong exceedingly to the extreme, and it had iron teeth, great ones," or immense ones, devouring, pulverizing, or breaking in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, that is the 10 horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there was 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. In these 2 verses, we have a description of this fourth beast, which we already learned when we had previously studied these verses, along with the first 3 beasts of Daniel 7, verses 1 through 6, is revealing an aspect of Satan's worldwide rule. We first read in verse 7 that Daniel saw in the night visions, because these visions are described as night visions, we know that they will do with spiritually dark, hidden, or evil things, or the things of Satan, since spiritually speaking, nighttime can symbolize a time of spiritual darkness or evil, which in this context refers to the time of the Great Tribulation. Indeed, it can symbolize a period of judgment or tribulation, which, with respect to this fourth beast, it is indeed doing. Yes, we shall see more clearly as we go along that this fourth beast is symbolic of Satan's worldwide rule, primarily over the churches during the Great Tribulation upon the churches from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, according to the proven biblical timeline of history, and you can click on proofs to see the proofs and all and a lot of the evidence. But this period of the Great Tribulation is when Yahweh gave Satan rule over the world and all the churches as the Antichrist or counterfeit Christ to spiritually devour and break them in pieces, not literally or physically, but spiritually, with false teachings, philosophies, beliefs, and gospels. And he was permitted to trample upon the elect, the remnant, who were for a time in those churches, but later departed out from those churches in obedience to their Lord's command before Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. And you can click on Why Leave All the Churches for more information on that. Next, we read in verse 7 of Daniel 7 that this fourth beast was dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. The word dreadful would better be translated as fear-invoking or terrifying. For this word's primary meaning is to fear. So our verse would better read in verse 7, after this, I saw in the night visions, that is, visions about the Great Tribulation, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and terrible and strong exceedingly. The idea is that this beast causes great fear, and it is strong or mighty exceedingly, or to the extreme. So no wonder why the church was captivated by it and thought it was Christ himself, Almighty God. Then we read, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces. A more literal translation of these 2 sentences would read, and it had iron teeth, immense ones, devouring, pulverizing, which places the emphasis on these iron teeth being great or immense and devouring so much so that they break into pieces or pulverize whatever they bite upon. The teeth are described as iron teeth because iron is symbolic of strength in the Bible. which gives double emphasis to this beast being strong exceedingly. So our verse now reads, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and terrible, and strong exceedingly," like strong to the extreme. "And it had iron teeth, great ones, immense ones, devouring, pulverizing," or we could say breaking in pieces. Then we are told that this fourth beast stamped the residue with the feet of it. The residue refers to that small part which is left over, which in this case is referring to the elect and the churches who were not spiritually devoured and pulverized as the non-elect during the Great Tribulation or during the judgment upon the churches, which began on May 21, 1988. Instead, the elect in the churches during the Great Tribulation were stamped upon or spiritually killed. We read about the elect being spiritually stamped upon, overcome, or we could say killed in Revelation 13, where we have further description of this same beast in Revelation 7, with first the beast which came up from the sea, Revelation 13:1, that we have been studying, and then later in this same chapter, Revelation 13, the beast which came up from the earth, Revelation 13:11, that we will be studying in the near future. We read with respect to the beast who came out of the sea in Revelation 13 that we've been studying, "And it was given unto him," that is the beast out of the sea, "to make war." This is verse 7 of Revelation 13. We haven't got there yet, but I'm going to read it. "And it was given unto him," the beast out of the sea, "to make war with the saints and to overcome them." Same kind of thing we read back in Daniel. "And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." And then we read with respect to the beast who came out of the earth in Revelation 13, verse 15. And we haven't got to that verse yet either. But this is what it says. "And he," that is the beast who came out of the earth, "had power to give life unto the image of the beast." And that's referring to the image of the beast who came out of the sea that we're talking about. "That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Now, that's not referring to a physical killing. The whole book of Revelation is focused spiritually. We got to stop thinking so much earthly and look for the spiritual meaning. Even Christ's disciples on earth when he was here had problems with, they always tried to interpret things literally or physically instead of seeing the spiritual meaning. There are other verses as well which speak to the spiritual overcoming, stamping upon, or killing of the elect during the Great Tribulation. For instance, we read in Revelation 11, verse 7, "And when they have finished their testimony," and we've already studied this verse, "the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them." Overcome, we heard about that already in Daniel. "And kill them." Same thing. So this Great Tribulation is spoken about in a lot of different various places of the Bible. It's not a small thing. It was a big thing that God wants us to know about and wanted us to know about way back then. This verse is referring to when the elect finished their testimony of the gospel to the world on May 21, 1988, when the Great Tribulation began, the church age ended, and God's judgment came upon all the churches. At this time, the Holy Spirit removed himself from the churches to make way for the Antichrist, Satan himself, to rule in the church, and the elect in the churches were spiritually overcome or killed, in that they were no longer permitted to freely proclaim the truth in the churches, but instead began to be silenced. That's really what spiritual killing is. You just kind of ignore and put those people aside and don't pay attention to them. It's like they've passed on because they're not, no one pays attention to them, or it's a spiritual killing. And that has to do with being silenced in the church. And they were looked down upon, ignored, and in many cases, eventually forced to leave and were cast out of their church as Satan began to reign in all the churches as judgment against them for all their transgressions. Now, it is of great importance to point out the following. Many are still trying to say that the elect finished their testimony of the gospel to the world on May 21, 2011, instead of May 21, 1988. But this is an impossibility. For notice that Revelation 11, verse 7 that we just read says that when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them. In other words, when the elect finish their testimony, the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit. It takes place at the same time. This could not have happened on May 21, 2011, because that was not when Satan was lifted up and given the power to destroy the church. But May 21, 2011 is when he was spiritually put down from any longer being king over the church and the world, although he has been allowed by God to continue to be used of God to bring judgment against both the church and the world right on up to the very end. We know this because in one of the types or foreshadows of the Great Tribulation, and God gave us two or three of them in the Old Testament to prepare us for the Great Tribulation in the end time in the New Testament, we see one of these foreshadows of the Great Tribulation in the 70 years of desolation upon Judah, which was from 609 to 539 BC, the king of Babylon, who typified Satan, was deposed, or we could say put down, on the last day of that great tribulation, which was in 539 BC, which assures us that Satan also had to have been deposed or put down on the last day of the Great Tribulation, which we know was May 21, 2011, according to the biblical timeline of history. And by the way, we wouldn't know anything about this Great Tribulation if we were not given the dates in the biblical timeline. No one would be able to know when any of this stuff was to take place or when it took place. So the biblical timeline that was granted to us several decades ago, that has never been disproven to my knowledge. It was a gift from God. Otherwise, we would not know all the stuff that we know. At least we wouldn't know the timing of it. So there was no possibility that on May 21, 2011, that Satan was then given some type of power to be lifted up or ascended out of the pit to spiritually kill the elect. For on May 21, 2011, just the opposite took place. Satan was cut down in a sense, not lifted up. And once again, you can look at verse 7 of Revelation chapter 11 and see that. Well, another verse which speaks to this spiritual overcoming stamping upon or killing of the elect during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011 is found in Daniel chapter 8. That also speaks of the little horn that we previously saw in Daniel 7 verse 8. We read in Daniel 8 verses 9 through 10, "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and the stars to the ground and stamped upon them." See, this is talking about the same event during the Great Tribulation. Stars in the Bible represent the believers, the true believers, and they were cast to the ground and stamped upon spiritually. And again, we read in Daniel 8, verses 23 through 24, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance," and that's King Satan, "and understanding dark sentences." Dark sentences in the Bible represent the hidden truths of Holy Scripture. So it's telling us that Satan understands those things. And he's a king of fierce countenance, it says, "shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power." Remember, we learned already in Revelation 13 that Satan was given power. He was given to rule over the churches. It wasn't by his own power. It was by the power of God. "And he shall destroy wonderfully," it says, "and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." Who are the mighty and the holy people? They're the elect. Well, they're not mighty in their flesh, but they have the Spirit of God, who is mighty in the Spirit. He is mighty. He's almighty. And it's the elect who have Christ living in them, Almighty God. Yes, there are many passages which speak to the elect being spiritually stamped upon, overcome, destroyed, or killed during the Great Tribulation. And this all symbolizes the same thing, namely the silencing or spiritually killing of the elect, who were the two witnesses in the churches from May 21, 1988 on up to when they finally obeyed Christ to depart out from the fallen away and Satan-ruled Christian church. And you can click on Revelation 11, 7 through 10 to learn more about that. It is not that the elect were literally or physically stamped upon, like I've said, and destroyed or killed, but they were spiritually destroyed or killed in the sense that they were silenced from any longer being able to bring the truth or minister in the churches. Indeed, they were ignored, silenced, I can't overstress this, and were cast out of or forced to leave their church because Satan, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, had taken his seat of rule in the holy place, that is, in the very church that is supposed to be the elect's church, God's church. And this was done as judgment against the churches by God, who for so long had gone their own way, these churches, and built many high places of false teachings and gospels that the people in the church bowed down to in their hearts. You see, it's very similar, but on a spiritual level, to what the Old Testament church did. They set up high places, in places they weren't supposed to. High places of worship, where they'd build altars and worship false gods. They would worship the Canaanite gods. Or they worship Baal, which was a Canaanite god. And there were many different gods that they worshipped at the high places. And they were told in the law that they were only to worship in one place, and that was where the temple was in Jerusalem, or where the tabernacle was before the temple was set up in Jerusalem. But they rebelled against God. They rebelled against God. And that's exactly what the churches in our day during the Great Tribulation have done. They've set up high places. They have certain false teachings that they claim are true, and they bow down to them as if they are true, but they're not. And there's many of them. And so they put up high places, and they're worshiping idols because they're not the truth. And Yahweh had had enough of this idol worship, so he brought judgment upon his very own house, beginning on May 21, 1988, according to the well-proven biblical timeline of history. Well, let's put our attention back on Daniel 7, verse 7, to give us a deeper understanding of what we're studying in Revelation 13. Because this fourth beast being described is the same beast. Well, continuing with the last part of Daniel 7, verse 7, we read, "And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." Now, why do we read that this fourth beast was diverse from all the beasts that were before it? And those beasts, it's talking about the three beasts in Daniel 7, verses 1 through 6. Why is the fourth beast different than those three beasts? Well, to be diverse just means to be different. And this fourth beast was different from the previous three beasts described in Daniel 7, verse 1 through 6, in that this fourth beast is a description of Satan's rule primarily over the churches during the Great Tribulation, beginning on May 21, 1988, whereas the previous three beasts in Daniel 7, 1 through 6 are not. Then we read that just like we learned that the beast in Revelation 13 had 10 horns, remember we learned that back in verse 1, this fourth beast in Daniel 7 had 10 horns as well, because after all, it is really describing the same beast that rose up out of the sea that we have been studying in Revelation 13. And we are told in verse 24 of Daniel 7, we haven't got there yet, but we're told there just what these 10 horns are. Let me read Daniel 7, verse 24. It states, "And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings." So here it's saying that the 10 horns of this kingdom are 10 kings. And since the purpose of kings is to rule, this 10 kings represent the complete rule or dominion of Satan, because there's 10 of them. And the number 10 in the Bible symbolizes the completeness of whatever is in view. And you can click on Bible number 10 to see that. So what this fourth beast represents is the complete rule or dominion of Satan during the Great Tribulation, which began on May 21, 1988, and continued until May 21, 2011. Remember, its rule consisted of spiritually stamping upon the residue, that is, stamping upon the elect, which is a picture of the being of being spiritually killed, which is the silencing of the elect in the churches, so that Satan would overcome the churches as well as the whole world with false teachings, philosophies, beliefs, and gospels. You can click on Revelation 11, 7 through 10 to learn about the killing of the elect, namely the two witnesses. This is how he devoured and broke in pieces the churches and the whole world. For in leading the whole world astray, as well as all the churches, all people except for the elect are now guaranteed to be destroyed through the eternal destruction by the fires of the last day of judgment day, when all the unsaved, both dead and living, will be annihilated forever as they are cast into the lake of fire along with Satan and the other fallen angels or demons. And because salvation is no longer possible for anyone who was not saved by May 21, 2011, it is as if the world and all those still in the churches have already been destroyed. They are, in fact, all currently in the spiritual prison of death row, to be executed in the fires of the last day. Yes, they are all to meet their end eternally, relatively soon. Now, we already looked at Daniel 7, verse 7. Okay, but since Daniel 7, verse 8 also has to do with Satan's rule over the church during the Great Tribulation, just as does Revelation 13 that we are currently studying, let's take a look at it to further support our understanding of what took place during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. Once again, we read in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, I considered the horns, that is the ten horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Notice that this little horn that came up has a mouth speaking great things. Wow, remember? That is exactly what was said about the beast in Revelation 13:5, where we read, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. So immediately we are encouraged to believe that Daniel 7 verse 8 does indeed have to do with the great tribulation of judgment against all the churches worldwide, just as does Revelation 13 that led us here to Daniel 7 verse 8. But now, in Daniel 7 verse 8, we are told that Daniel considered or contemplated the ten horns, which horn symbolized the complete rule of Satan during the Great Tribulation, as we learned previously, when, behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. What could this all be symbolizing? Well, we already found that the ten horns symbolized the complete rule of Satan. But what does it mean that three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots before the little horn? Since the ten horns minus the three horns that were plucked up by the roots is equivalent to now seven horns remaining, and these horns represent the rule of Satan, then the seven remaining horns symbolize the perfect rule of Satan, because the number seven symbolizes the perfection of whatever is in view. And you can click on the Bible number seven to see that. So in that ten horns were reduced to seven horns in the presence of the little horn, we are being told that with the coming of the little horn, the complete rule of Satan was perfected during the Great Tribulation. But just who or what is this little horn whose coming represents Satan's perfect rule? We are told exactly who or what this little horn is once we recognize that this little horn is the eighth horn, or king. Because the remaining seven horns plus the little horn makes the little horn the eighth horn. or king. We read about this eighth horn or king in Revelation 17, verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he, is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. Therefore, here we are told that the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. And we discover just who this beast that is the eighth is in verse 8 of Revelation 17, where this same beast is said to be the one who ascends out of the bottomless pit. And we know who it was that ascended out of the bottomless pit. It was Satan himself. But we read in Revelation 17, verse 8, the beast, that is the same beast that was mentioned to be the eighth in verse 11, that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, or marvel, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So, by letting the Bible define its own terms, by comparing Scripture with Scripture, which we must do to find the correct interpretations, the beast being described in this context is the one who shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And we know that the one who did ascend from the bottomless pit on May 21, 1988, was Satan himself, as he was then loosed by Christ to be set up in the church as the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also known as the man of sin or the abomination of desolation, in all the churches worldwide to bring God's judgment against the transgressors. For judgment had to begin with the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Next, we read further in Daniel 7, verse 8, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. There's that word great things again. In that this little horn had eyes like the eyes of man reminds us that this little horn is Satan, who is symbolized by the term the man of sin. Satan himself, of course, is not a man, but he is symbolized by the term man of sin when he was seated to rule in all the churches as God's judgment against them, as we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Let no man deceive you by any means. Remember that? For that day, that is the day of the Lord, shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin, that is Satan, the Antichrist, the false Christ, and you can click on who is the Antichrist to see who that is, and we know who it is, and that the man of sin be revealed. And when was he revealed? On May 21, 1988, being revealed by the Scriptures, the biblical timeline of history. Or we would not know when any of this stuff would take place if it wasn't for the biblical timeline of history. What a gift! What a blessing! We must praise God for it. Otherwise, we would never know when all this stuff would take place. We'd have to guess. Well, anyway, Satan's called the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth, that is, rules, in the temple of God. That is the corporate church or all the churches worldwide, showing himself that he is God. Now, there are many Christians who believe that this verse is referring to Satan being set up in the Jewish temple. Not Satan, but the Antichrist, who is just one man. When the Antichrist will enter into the Jewish temple. But the context of this verse is the church. It has nothing to do with the Jewish temple if you examine these verses closely. So be careful what you believe, because there's another verse in Daniel, and I can't remember exactly what verse it is now, but there's a verse that speaks of this Antichrist, Satan, the abomination of desolation. He changes the law, the times, and the seasons during the Great Tribulation period and onward to deceive the churches, to feed those who remain in the churches and didn't come out when they were commanded by Christ, a strong delusion. And so they're all looking over to Israel and nations around Israel, looking outwardly to define what the Bible teaches. And we should never do that. We always have to look directly into the Bible and define the Bible by the Bible, interpreting Scripture with Scripture, looking a word up everywhere to see how God defines it so that we know that we are defining it correctly. Folks, virtually no one does that. Virtually no one, certainly in today's church, I don't see anyone doing that. Well, the reason then that this little horn, Satan, is described as having the eyes of man is because this little horn is a description of Satan's rule, symbolized by the term man of sin, over all the churches during the Great Tribulation, or during God's judgment upon all the churches. And as already revealed, the term man of sin does not refer to a literal man. And once again, you can click on the link, who is the Antichrist, to see why that is. But it is a term which symbolizes Satan himself, who worked through many men or antichrists in the churches to destroy and devour the churches with false teachings and gospels, and with lying signs and wonders or miracles that Satan was permitted to do to deceive them because they did not love the truth, but instead loved the lie. Now, as we mentioned before in Daniel 7, verse 8, we are told that this little horn, Satan, also called the man of sin or the counterfeit Christ, had a mouth speaking great things, which are the same great things, of course. The beast was given a mouth to speak in Revelation 13, verse 5, where we learned that the great things that the beast, Satan, his demons, and counterfeit Christians, was given to speak during the Great Tribulation were the very things of God. Yes, the little horn is the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan himself, who was given a mouth speaking the things of God in the church, as if he were God. In other words, he spoke the Holy Scriptures as if he were God to deceive the churches into worshiping him. He spoke to do signs and wonders as if he were God. He spoke to do the miracles that he was permitted to do as if he were God. He spoke to teach a counterfeit gospel of salvation. He spoke to make people worship him as if he were God. And he spoke to give people the appearance that he is God. He is indeed the counterfeit Christ, who speaks great things through his army of unsaved people in the churches to spiritually destroy and devour the churches by his counterfeit Holy Spirit teachings, philosophies, beliefs, prophets, and gospels. Well, returning to our primary verse of study in Revelation 13:5, we read, "And power was given unto him, that is unto the beast, to continue 42 months. More literally, it reads, "And to it was given power," or we could translate it authority, "to do what it wills, 42 months. This is the same 42 months mentioned in Revelation 11:2, where we read, and we've studied this before, but the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. This 42 months symbolizes the whole period of the Great Tribulation. From May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, when Satan and his unsaved Christians were given power to tread underfoot and spiritually destroy the holy city, the church, as God's judgment against them for their transgressions. And you can click on Revelation 11, verse 2, to see that, which is the same period symbolized by the 42 months in which the beast, Satan, his demons, and counterfeit Christians, was given power or authority to do what it wills to spiritually destroy all the local Christian churches worldwide, also called the church, the holy place, the temple, or the house of God. So in this study of Revelation 13:5, we learn that the beast, which represents Satan, his demons, and counterfeit Christians, all working together to take over the church during the Great Tribulation as God's judgment against them for their sin from the end of the church age on May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began, was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies through this beast's false prophets in the Christian church. To speak great things means that this beast spoke the very things of God, including God's word as if he were God. This beast spoke a gospel so close to the truth that it would deceive God's very own people, the elect, if that were possible. And it even did great things as signs and wonders or miracles, like supposed miraculous healings, supposed salvations, supposed messages directly from God in voices, dreams, visions, tongues, words of knowledge, and prophesying. This beast even made people fall backwards by the false prophet touching them on their foreheads, which later on in Revelation 13, the second half of it, we will learn is a fulfillment of Satan calling down fire from heaven before men to reveal that God's judgment is upon all the Christian churches worldwide. Indeed, Satan set himself up in the church as the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, who was foretold to come, also called the man of sin, the son of perdition, and the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Yes, the beast spoke and did great things during the Great Tribulation, and it continues to do so in the Christian churches worldwide, even to this day. But the beast also spoke blasphemies during the Great Tribulation, and even to this day. In fact, just that this beast speaks the very things of God, or the great things of God in his word, is great blasphemy in itself. For to mix that which is evil with that which is holy is a complete contradiction. Remember, blasphemies are speaking things contrary to the teachings of God, and to twist God's word to do it. That is the worst kind of blasphemy. And that is exactly what this beast did. It twisted the Holy Scriptures just enough so that God's very elect would be deceived, if that were possible. And so by speaking blasphemy in opposition to the truth, the beast deceived the churches as God fed them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie, namely that they have been attending church to worship Christ, when instead they are worshiping the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the master deceiver, Satan himself. Those who are of God come out from the house of God that became the synagogue of Satan by September 7, 1994. Come out from the house of God. or you are sure to be one of those who will fall down in despair as you see all Christ's people who are outside of any local church being raptured to heaven just before you will be cast into the lake of fire along with Satan and all his demons on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. The time is short. We're not waiting for Christ to come and rule on this earth for 1,000 years or for a physical tribulation to come and the believers to be raptured out so they don't have to experience that great tribulation. We're not waiting for any of that stuff. That's false teaching. And Christ is not going to reign on a sin-cursed earth for 1,000 years. And you can go to Revelation chapter 20 to see that God never uses 1,000 years literally as being a literal 1,000 years. In the Bible, it's always used symbolically. And so we must let the Bible define how we define a word. And numbers are just words after all. The time is short. Now until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.